The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but what does that look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of the Fruitful Single Podcast. My guest today is Cindy Howell. Cindy, how long have you been a widow?
It'll be 9 years in April.
That long already? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And what are you doing with your life?
Filling every minute. My husband and I started a Christian ministry called the Olive Branch New Beginnings, which is an assisted living center for adult men with mental impairments. We started that in 1992. And the last year and a half of his life, he was teaching me and training me in his position, because we had two distinct positions here. I'm the nurse and was pretty much the activities director. And he was in charge of everything else, maintenance, all the administration duties, paying the bills, insurances, all the legal ramifications, taxes, hiring, all of the payroll. He did all of that. So the last year and a half of his life, he was very busy teaching me a lot of stuff. And so when he passed, I decided I needed to do things with my time. So I began a personal Bible study with a group, a small group of people that I didn't even know. I knew one person in the Bible study. And I continued that for the next 6 or 7 years. And then it was during that, towards the middle of that six-year stretch, that I felt God was calling me to teach others. And I really had a burden for discipling. And I had maybe 6 or 7 people in a class. And they were short. They were maybe just 3 months at a time, once a week. And I taught those from my church. After that, I felt the need to do one-on-one discipling. Because people were coming to me and asking me if I would do that. Then after I had discipled two individuals individually, then I decided that I was going to start teaching classes. And so I began that about 2 years ago, and I have taught 3 classes. I'm in my 3rd class right now, which is almost finished. We're in our last book. It's called Salt Discipleship Through Victorious Christian Living, and that's 7 areas of life training. And I use their curriculum. I think it's wonderful. It covers everything in a person's life. I already have people that have asked me, are you going to be teaching another class? So as long as God sends students, I'll continue teaching it, because I really feel that it's a call on my life to teach it. And I love teaching it. I remember, you know, reading in the scripture that God wants elderly women, you know, to teach and to teach younger women and to be good role models for them. And I take that very seriously. I think that's very important for an older woman to do that and to show young women what a godly woman is supposed to look like and act like, and, you know, the things that are important to us, because that's how they learn. You know, they're going to learn by that. They're not going to learn just by seeing you sitting in a pew on Sunday, you know.
So how did you find the people for the first group of people that you...
Some of them went to my church. Some of them were just friends, like my housekeeper. It was a small group. Like I said, there was only about six people. They were all ladies, and some of them were relatively new believers, and some of them were, quite seasoned. So.
Did they approach you and say, hey, would you disciple us? Or was it more like you said, hey, I'm going to be teaching this class. Would you like it? Okay.
I told them that I got the material. I always provide the material for my students. And then I brought it to church, but then I also shared it. I gave it to some of the people that I felt God was wanting me to disciple them. I just prayed about it. God put people's names on my heart, and then I approached them, and that's how they became my students.
That's really important because as single people, it's possible and easy for us to just kind of skim superficially with relationships. And so it's good that you deliberately got yourself involved in a regular group where people would know you and yeah.
And I knew it was important, even just to renew a lot of my friendships that had kind of withered on the vine because of being so caught up in my husband's care. So I contacted people and I'd say, do you want to do lunch? Do you want to do this? Let's get together. Let's go. I'm going to go shopping. Would you like to join me? And I mean, I purposely sought friendships and social contacts because I know how important they are. And I know when you're grieving, it's very easy to just hibernate and hold that grief close, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. I think really deepening your relationship with God is vital. In the beginning, right after my husband died, I would spend hours and hours in the Word and in books and just sucking it up like a sponge. It helped. And I think God wants to use us every minute of our life. And I think as we get older, we have a lot of gifts that God wants us to use and to share. And don't be afraid of befriending younger people because and reaching out to them.
Have you ever had, since your husband went to be with the Lord, have you had matchmakers that try to hook you up with a great Christian man? Okay.
No. And the reason is because I think people know I'm not interested.
Okay.
And I don't really have a lot of spare time.
That's true. Let's say there's a 25-year-old Christian woman has met a godly young man. She thinks he might be interested in her, but she's wondering whether she should not let this relationship go any deeper so that she can remain unmarried and use her singleness for the Lord. What advice would you give to her?
Prayer is going to be the best thing. Also, seek counsel from other godly people that she respects and admires. I don't think there's anything wrong with being single, and I don't think there's anything wrong in being married. I was married for 33 years. God used me and my husband in ministry, but as when my husband passed away, my personal ministry, as far as teaching, expanded. I didn't do that when he was alive. I didn't have time. When you're married, you don't realize how much of your time is really used with the other person until you sit and think about it, but it really is. And I don't think you should get married just because you think that's the right thing to do when everybody else is doing it.
And then the aspect of your ministry involved with taking care of men with mental impairments. That just hearing about all the things your husband had to teach you, that sounds like a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. It
So
was a lot of work.
what is it that motivates you to continue investing your life in that?
What motivates me? I love them. I love the men. They're, I'm a barren woman, and God gave me a scripture many years ago that he told me that the barren woman would live in a house with many children. And if you've ever been around special needs men, they're children, and these are my boys. And I don't call them boys, they're men. But I've been very, very blessed to have 13 men that love me just as much as I love them.
Wow.
These were men that they would either end up homeless or in prison. And they're very vulnerable. They don't, they're very trusting, and they would become victims of other people, even their families. They could become victims of them. So we really had a burden for them. My husband was the one that, I mean, he had the strong burden for them.
What would be some reasons why other Christian single people, be they be never married or widowed or divorced, what would be some reasons why they should consider getting involved in helping people with mental impairments?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it helps you to be truly grateful and thankful for what you have. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, but for the grace of God, you could have been born with a mental impairment. I think gratitude is very, very important in our lives and in our walk. And I think it's always good for us to help people that don't have as much as we have. And the smallest thing makes my residents happy. I have one man that makes little wooden, he calls them keychains, and they're a little piece of wood that he screws hooks onto them. And you can mount it on your wall, and you can hang your keys on it or other things. I use mine for jewelry and other things. And he sells them for $2. And you give him $2, and he is the happiest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, just such a small thing mm-hmm. can make him so happy.
What would you say to somebody who's like, who kind of feels the tug of what you're saying, but they're like, you know, I've never been around people like that. I feel kind of nervous or awkward. How would I know what to say? Mm-hmm.
I know exactly how that feels. In 1985, I started working as a house parent in a facility. And I remember at the end of the first week, I wrote in my journal, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do this job because there's one man here that I cannot understand. And for the life of me, I don't know what he's saying. And 32 years later, he's still living with me and I can understand everything he says. So I know that trepidation, but it, you know, it's just, if you have a heart of willingness, God can use you. It doesn't matter.
Perhaps the most famous and fruitful single Christian of the 20th century was Corrie ten Boom. She's most famous for her work rescuing Jews in the Holocaust, but she also ministered a lot to mentally impaired. The Nazis tried to exterminate not only Jews, but also the physically handicapped and mentally impaired. If you haven't read her book, The Hiding Place, I highly recommend it. I hope today's interview has inspired you to look for opportunities for ministry to the mentally impaired in your church and community. If you would like to contact Cindy, you can email me at daniel@fruitfulsingle.com and I will forward your messages on. You can also write me to share comments, to suggest someone else I should interview, or even if you want to interview someone yourself. Again, my email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. May Jesus bless you with a fruitful week, and remember, don't waste your singleness.